One of the most successful public health interventions over the last few decades has been screening women for cervical cancer using the Pap smear. In Australia and other countries, it has significantly driven down the rates of this potentially dreadful malignancy. With the discovery that the human papillomavirus, HPV, causes cervical cancer and the Australian development of the HPV vaccine, cervical screening has been transformed. It's still based on the smear, but now they look for HPV infection, and if there is none and the cells look normal, a woman doesn't need to have another smear for 5 years. If there is an infection, then these women are followed more closely and can be referred for more detailed testing called colposcopy if the cells look precancerous. In addition, cervical screening now only starts at the age of 25. Needless to say, with such a dramatic shift from frequent smears and with HPV immunisation potentially changing the patterns of the disease, there's been a lot of research into the impact. We've covered this from time to time, and last week, early findings from the National Cervical Screening Programme were published, and Suzanne Garland, who's Professor of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the University of Melbourne, was one of the team. Welcome back to the Health Report, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, you've been studying HPV for years now.
Oh, yes, I'd have to say about 3.5 decades because we've been...
You started when you were 12, I know.
Yes.
What was the pattern before HPV immunisation came along, when the new screening test came along?
Well, I mean, the Pap smear developed by Dr. Papanicolaou way back in 1928 looked at abnormal cell changes, and it was not particularly sensitive, but hey, it's, you know, really stood the test of time, and it worked because you did it every couple of years, so you could see these abnormalities happening. But look, Australia has really moved to, as one of the very first countries to go to a more sensitive test, which is, as you say, HPV-based cervical screening. And, you know, that was based on international data. It's based on cost effectiveness. And if you're going to develop something new, you really then must monitor it.
So my question was, you've been looking at HPV for a long time. What was the pattern of HPV before immunisation and the screening test came along?
Yes. And we did describe that a long time ago in Indigenous, non-Indigenous, urban, rural women in Australia. And HPV was very commonly picked up after sexual debut and peaked around 25 to 30 and then rapidly declined to about 5 to 10% after 30 years of age.
Because women do get rid of it in most instances.
That's correct. There is some host immune response, but in a proportion... they end up with chronic infection, and it's the persistent chronic infection of the so-called high-risk or oncogenic HPVs that puts a woman at risk for developing cancer down the line, and that can be several decades.
And there are two in particular that you look at, the two subtypes you look at in particular are 16 and 18.
Correct.
Which is what the original vaccine was against.
They actually make up 70% of the cancers worldwide, and that's pretty consistent.
So you looked at 200 samples in this study, the screening program. What did you find?
Well, we actually looked, this is a collaborative study between the Royal Women's Hospital in Melbourne and Douglas Hanly Moir in Sydney and South Australia. And we looked
at a private pathology laboratory.
Yes, and this was looking at the first 200,000 women coming through for screening. So it's quite a large number. So this is the women coming in for HPV DNA. And I'd have to say there's two populations here. 80% of them were actually screening women, and the other 20% were higher risk. Maybe they were post-treatment for high-grade lesions or had some symptomatology like bleeding. So really what we want to focus on is the outcome of the first 6 months of screening with HPV DNA in, as I say, roughly 200,000 women. And I guess there's two major findings here. If you look at the 16-18, this is the
HPV subtypes that cause the cancer.
Yes, the two types that cause the majority of the cancers. These were reduced markedly in prevalence right across the age group. And as you asked me before, you get that peak, and the peak can be really quite high, up around the 20% odd. And what we found in this study was only around 2%. So in other words, the vaccines had a really large impact on carriage of the HPV that causes the cancer. And the other major finding was that more women were picked up, because this is a more sensitive test. And people might get worried about that. Hey, why are we having to refer more women to colposcopy? That's because we're using a more sensitive test. So about threefold more women are being referred to colposcopy.
Which is a safety thing, really, as much as anything else.
To see if there's any abnormal cells. And I think
did the diagnosis rate go up?
We haven't got that data yet. This is only the first 6 months of the screening. So we're still waiting on the histology. So in other words, what is the tissue taken at colposcopy show us? That's why we have to keep going and monitoring for a longer period of time. But I think, you know, the important thing is that of the women screened, 92% can be reassured there's no infection there and they don't have to come back for another 5 years, unless, of course, they develop symptoms.
So parallel findings is the screening program appears to be safe.
Correct.
You not seem to be missing many, although that's for another study to be absolutely sure about that. You're already seeing the signs of immunisation coming through.
Correct. And we found the same in a Victorian study looking at the screening with HPV DNA.
How accurate were, just very quickly, it was the colposcopy findings, because Telstra Health has failed to deliver on integrating colposcopy into the screening register, despite me giving hundreds of millions of dollars to do so. Did you have to do this by hand because you didn't have it done, you didn't have it computerised?
Well, yes, it did give us a few challenges, to say the least. And that's going to be another study. It's going to be more follow-up. We're going to certainly look at the colposcopic predictions and, as I said, the histology. And love to come back and tell you about it.
We'll invite you. Don't you worry about that. Suzanne, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
Suzanne Garland is Professor of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the University of Melbourne and the Royal Women's Hospital.